This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Spirit Radio Podcasts.
COP28, the United Nations Climate Change Conference, has been taking place in Dubai. Our next guest actually was attending the conference, and she's going to share with us a little bit about her experience. She's also going to be talking about her book, which is a revised edition that's been released by Veritas. It's called Climate: A Generation Awakening to Our Children's Future. It's great to have with us on the line author Dr. Lorna Gold. Dr. Gold is also director of Faith Invest and board president of the Laudato Si movement. Lorna, thanks so much for being with us. Tell us a little bit about your experience at COP28. Was it encouraging? Was it frustrating? Was it a mix of emotions for you?
Hi, Wendy. Yeah, I think it was a mix of emotions. It was slightly surreal, I have to say, going to Dubai in the middle of the Irish winter. You're in this really warm country. There's lots of kind of, I don't know, it's all these displays about how all these different countries are turning green. And then realising that really at the heart of this, at the heart of the negotiations, there was so much hypocrisy that a lot of the countries that had all these displays about going green actually are ramping up fossil fuels, and they've got very, very like different intentions in terms of how they are going to tackle climate change. So it was really a mixed bag. The highlight for me, I have to say, was this new initiative called the Faith Pavilion, which was bringing together all the different faiths, so the Catholics, the Protestants, and all the other faiths to talk about what we're doing about climate change. So that was really wonderful, because we don't hear enough about that, about what all the different religions are doing on this topic. We know Pope Francis cares about it a lot, but there's a lot going on in other faiths. So that was, to me, a little high point. The outcome that came out today is very disappointing, but frankly, I'm used to these disappointments at this stage.
And I suppose, Lorna, that's probably one of the reasons that you wrote the book, is that you can go through that kind of wave of emotions where you have that experience where you meet with a group of people that are like mine. You go, okay, there's concrete things we can do together. So, and that can be mirrored, of course, in our families, in our communities, in our churches. But then you look at the evidence and you go, okay, where does this leave the next generation? Is that why you put together the book, to just really help encourage people, but also help us to kind of wake up to what's happening?
Exactly. I mean, I wrote the book principally for people who might not be like into climate change. There's this idea that there's these people who are kind of climate activists and into climate change, but then there's the rest of us, and we all care about the future. We all care about what happens to our children or our nephews or nieces or grandchildren. And I wanted to write a book that kind of reflected my own personal experience of what it feels like to understand like the science of the climate change challenge and environmental challenge, and then to try and do something about it. So it's written in a very clear language, not like it doesn't oversimplify the situation, but it's written in a very clear language for parents, for people who really want to understand the basics of what's happening in terms of climate, and also want to feel we can do something about it, because actually there are lots of things we can do, as you say, like in our personal life, whether that's how choosing what we buy in the supermarkets, how we invest, how we bank, how we travel. And then there's big things we can do, because we're all citizens, we all vote, and we can all have a say in what happens at that bigger level. So I guess that's why I wrote the book. I wrote it in a way that tells it through personal stories. So it's not like it kind of tries to engage people as well, because this topic can be a little bit dry for a lot of people.
And I think it can be overwhelming as well. And sometimes the overwhelming nature, the global nature of it, can make it hard to connect up with as an individual or as a family. This is a revised edition, Lorna, of the book Climate Generation, Awakening to Our Children's Future. What's been changed or added to this edition?
Well, I've updated the science, which sadly didn't need that much updating because things haven't changed that much in the past 5 years. So I've updated all the science with my friend who's professor of climatology, Professor John Sweeney. And I also put a preface to it, as like a new chapter, which really kind of taps into all the work that Greta Thunberg and all the climate activism that there's been over the past few years. We know that COVID and the pandemic really kind of bumped climate change off the top, and the kind of cost of living crisis that we face has bumped climate change off the top of the people's concerns. But it's still there. And I guess I wanted to kind of get that message out there that this threat to the future is still out there, and we're still not tackling it in the way that we need to. The solutions are there now, which is the good news story, the technologies, but also the ways to reform our economy and change to renewable energy. It's all there. But we need to galvanise public opinion, and also galvanise communities to ramp it up a gear in terms of how we're responding.
And in terms of the book, Lorna, who's it for, and what do you hope people will get from it?
It's for a general audience, but I wrote it particularly thinking of my own friends, who the mums and the grandparents who I meet in the school playground, who care about the future and really want to understand what they can do. So that's the main audience. And what I hope people get out of it is a message of hope, that there is a lot happening, and that regardless of who you are, you can play your part. And I think that that's a real call also from a faith point of view. Pope Francis in Laudato Si says that we all have to undergo this, he calls it an ecological conversion. We all have to recognise that how we care for God's earth is also part of how we live out our Christian vocation. So that's integrated into this book as well, because it comes from a deep place of spirituality and faith. From myself.
Yeah, and it's so important for us, I think, as Christians, to say, well, how do I bring my faith into us, but in practical ways? I mean, when you were speaking at COP28, you said action must follow declaration. So on the broad scale, of course, you know, governments can do this, but what about us? Because many people listening will say, yes, I want to care for the planet, yes, I want to make a difference, but then you don't know how to act or what to do next. What's your advice there?
I think you can look at I use this little diagram. It's called the circle of concern and the circle of control. So each of us have a circle of concern, which is all the big things that we see about on the news that we can't really act directly on. Of course, we can always pray, and I am a great believer in the power of prayer. If you can't take direct action, you can pray for those who are taking action and involved in these negotiations. So we can always pray. But then our circle of control is really things like how we shop, what do we choose to buy, what do we choose to put on the dinner table. I as a mother, I really feel challenged on that, because it's not a case of like just flipping the switch and we'll all become vegans or vegetarians overnight. But we can make inroads into that and say, well, what about if we reintroduce meat-free Fridays or meat-free Mondays, or cutting down our own emissions. Going online, that's the first thing I did, and did my own carbon calculator for our household. And there's if you just put carbon calculator into the Google, you'll find really good ones. And you can, I got a bit of a shock when I did it as part of the research for the book. I realised that our own meat consumption was far too high. And then the hardest one for on a personal level is flights. Obviously, I fly a lot for work, and we try to kind of look at how we counter that by different schemes. But then on a personal level, there's a real need for us all to take individual actions to try and cut down how we fly and where we fly to. And I'm not preaching to anybody about that, because it's a journey, and maybe it's about a gradual transition and saying, okay, well, every second year we take a foreign holiday, or every third year. And so it's part of a gradual process. But I think the bigger thing now, and this is what I'd say to people as well, is get involved. If you feel concerned about this, you have to look at where the local groups are in your local community and get involved in talking about it and taking action together, because there's a lot can be done if we take action together.
Yeah, and I love seeing how little things can make a big difference. I noticed even in my church newsletter last Sunday was, you know, tips for an eco Christmas, and just small things can make a big difference. Lorna, it's been great, as always, to have you on the show. That's Dr. Lorna Gull, their author and chief executive officer at Faith Invest. And she was talking to me about the newest revised edition of her book, Climate Generation, Awakening to Our Children's Future. A brilliant book, but it also brings, as Lorna said, you know, just a faith perspective on the whole issue of the impact of climate change. It's published by Veritas, and you can get it through the Veritas website.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.